Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't no stopping us now. Ain't no stopping us now. Moving on.
vocabulary to others. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. Is telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it's Friday night. It is the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. I am your host, some say Reverend Ron, Dr. Robinson, Dr. L.L. Robinson, Mr. Electric. But we're here tonight and we're talking about the subject matters that matter to the community. Things that are going on in the current events in the news. And very interesting, Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Clarence Thomas, who took over Supreme Court from the one and the only, the great Thurgood Marshall. And he's no Thurgood Marshall at all. He's been a disaster. He's been a disgrace to Thurgood Marshall and what Thurgood Marshall stood for as the first black African-American Supreme Court justice. And what he stood for, Clarence Thomas is nowhere near the qualifications or the man or the integrity, the ethics that Thurgood Marshall had. But we have him now. We have Clarence Thomas in a great corruption. And, you know, he's working with a Nazi, a KKK, a racist, who give him millions of dollars, picked up his mother's home, giving him all kinds of trips and private airplanes and limousines, him and his wife just living it up. And that's not the problem. The problem is anytime a Supreme Court justice get a gift over $1,000, they're supposed to report it. And he had probably millions of dollars over the years from this this Anon billionaire that's been supplying him with money, and quite obviously, so he's getting influences from the Supreme Court. And now to come to find out, they got other justices that have some shaky ground, that have some very questionable contributors, that have some very questionable contributions, that have been getting money. The Supreme Court is a closed-in system. Nobody can evaluate it. Nobody can fire these people. They're there for life. There's a congressional, senatorial, and congressional judicial committee that's reviewing Clarence Thomas's relationship, and Clarence Thomas can either resign and try to retain himself. His wife was also a part of the insurrection on June 6, 2020. His wife was a part of that insurrection. She's a mega person. She's a supporter of Donald Trump as well as Clarence Thomas. And there's a lot of questions about what her participation was and what was her influence on her husband pertaining to bringing charges against Trump to the Supreme Court level for his involvement and his encouragement for people to participate in the January 6th insurrection. So there's a lot of things coming out now. A lot of stuff is coming out. Marjorie Greene, Congresswoman Marjorie Greene, is being exposed for who she is, a big mouth. James Brown said, talking loud and ain't saying nothing. She's a very devious, nasty person. She calls people ignorant and stupid during congressional hearings. She's very unprofessional. She's very ignorant. When Trump got, she went over to New York City, District Attorney Bragg's, when he was filing the case against 34 counts of violations against federal and state violations against Trump for his dealings and giving money from the campaign to that stripper, Stormy Daniels. She went to New York with a bullhorn and she raised hell. She's comparing Trump to Jesus, Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. King, said they all was all good men like him was arrested. She is just really, I don't know how she got, I don't even know if she got education. And I don't know how she got into a congressional seat, but it looked like anybody can get a congressional seat now, especially when you see that Joy Santos he's a congressman, and he's a liar, and nothing on his resume was true. He probably don't even have a high school diploma, but here we go. He's been elected to the Congress, and they're trying to get him out, this Joy Santos, and he said he's not going anyplace. So now they got problems with that. So the government is being shaken up. The Supreme Court is being shaken up. There has to be some changes in the congressional behavior. There has to be some change in the governmental policies and procedures. The guns, AK-15s and AK-47s now, have mechanisms you can buy online to make them shoot automatic. There are ways in which you can buy guns now piece by piece and mail order piece by piece and have it mailed to your home. And crazy people are getting guns, people with mental conditions, people who are crazy, just what I said. I'm not trying to, be politically correct. Crazy people, mentally challenged people, people who have anger management problems, people who are robbers, thieves, liars, pedophiles, rapists, are getting guns, and we see children are getting guns. We see young as 6 years old, a kid shot the teacher. So we see a lot of crime. And the Republicans, the NRA, want to continue to just give people guns. They want you to have ID and be investigated and be identified to vote. But they don't want you to do nothing to get a gun. They don't want you to have no qualifications, no investigation, no time waiting. If you have a criminal background, you have a mental condition, if you're over a certain age, you should not have a gun. Matter of fact, no citizen should have an assault weapon. Those are used for military purposes. Why in the hell do citizens have AK-15s? That can shoot 30, 60 bullets in a second? What do they need that for? Is the GOP, is the Republican going out their goddamn mind? Don't they got common sense? The guns are getting to the hands of the wrong people. It's getting to the hands of gangs, young gangs in the street, young people 14 and 15 are killing people in Chicago, carjacking them and stealing their cars. We have a wave of crime in this country is based on the criminality of the government. The government got his criminalities, and it's pouring into the community. So they get money from the NRA, they get money from the manufacturers of guns, they get money from the corporate sale businesses. They get all this campaign money. That's illegal. But that's influencing the politicians to continue with very liberal procedures to get a gun. And so anybody and their mama can get a gun, and that's exactly what's going on. Anybody and their mama's getting a gun, and it's ridiculous. The last bastion of freedom, the United States of America, it is ridiculous. They call themselves civilized. They're running around Africa talking about you should be nice to the LGBTQ, whatever those people are, the gays and the lesbians and the transgenders and metrosexual. I know they got all kinds of people out there. They got men now wearing dresses with shirts. They got all kinds of weird stuff going on, but they want that over the decency and the protection of people by, you know, protecting guns. They want to put white women and gay people in the same civil rights category as African Americans, and that do not work. It watered down the experience of slavery, Jim Crow laws, and civil rights and human rights and constitutional rights violations of human beings based on the color of their skin, based on their hair and the color of their skin and their culture. A gay person can walk around and never say they're gay. Nobody would attack them. It's because they express themselves in a gay manner, and people can see who they are, and then there is some tension there. But even that is very marginal. But me as a black man, like they say about Jesus in the Bible, skin like bronze and hair like wool, I cannot change my color. I can't change my hair. When they see me coming, they know I'm African-American. I can't change that. A gay person don't have to act feminine or masculine outside of their agenda, what they are, male, female, you know. But they want to now water down the rights of African-Americans by putting in the immigrants and the white women and the poor whites and the Jews and the lesbians and the gay men and everybody and their mama, watering down serious conditions that African Americans experience, the dehumanizing, demarginalizing, unethical, devious, demonic things that happen to African Americans in this country during slavery and after slavery. The Jim Crow laws were just as terrible. But here we are today playing games with something serious. And if you think for a minute, African-American people, if you think for a minute that you have arrived because you got a PhD and you live in a nice neighborhood, you make six figures and you drive a Mercedes, if you think that's arriving, you got a damn rude awakening coming for you. None of us is free until all of us is free, from the poorest to the most uneducated to the richest and to the most educated, until all African-American people are free to move and go about and to function in a society without being restrained. The newscaster, African-American brother, put it very, very clear. He said it is devastating, humanistically devastating to an individual person to live under these conditions where you're demarginalized, where you're demonized, and you're criminalized. Our children are criminalized. Our babies are dying. They're dying in the streets by violence and guns and alcohol and drugs and contaminated, toxic, prefabricated synthetic foods, killing their bodies in these terrible bad food zone areas in the poverty and poor areas. They're dying, dying, dying. It is a human catastrophe. We have to go to the UN and we have to file human rights violations against the United States of America. We have to go to the World Court. We have to step out of the boundaries of where we're at and file a universal case against the Americas because of the conditions of killing us. I don't worry about myself so much as my age now. I'm 73. I'm not worried about me so much. I'm worried about these young children. I have children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great-grandchildren, and I'm concerned about the environment. It's a toxic, a racist environment. Okay? There is systemic racism and environmental, because we watch it. They're polluting the water, the air, where there's poor people and black people. So that's human rights violations there. That's environmental racism there. And we have to work together to stop it. We at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, this institution, this radio program, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we are working to establish economic stability so we can hire our people, put them back to work, and put them in good developed communities with good environmental protection for our children, where there is good schools, and this shit about CRT, critical race theory, is bullshit. It's the white man's. It's been around forever. They have critical race theories when they did eugenics, and they were saying that black people are three-fifths of a human being and that we're animals and that we're not intelligent like the Europeans because we came from the jungles of Africa. That is critical race theory. Why they don't talk about that? Because they've been violating black people forever. They've been violating African-American people forever. But if we pick up and leave this country, they will have nothing, nothing at all, because everything, we created it. Google, I tell people all the time, you got a cell phone, you can Google. Google how many inventions African Americans invented in America. I'll tell you, 50,000. Every damn thing you can think of, we invented it. Every successful medical research, every pharmaceutical product, we created it. First open heart surgery successfully done, African American doctor. Blood plasma scientist. Okay, antibiotics, African American scientist. Tires, streetlights, toothpaste, windows, doors, doorknobs, you name it, screws, engine for cars. The first manufactured car in America was an African-American manufacturer who could not get licensed to produce the car because it was a racist society, okay? The first manufacturing of cars in a factory. African American built the factory, had the blueprints and everything. He could not get the logistical, legal documentation to open up the factory because of the racist America back in the 1800s. 2,000 men served after Reconstruction, 1887. 2,000 black men served in government. They call them statesmen, more than white people. We wrote the Constitution. We devised the political, social, and economic structure in America. We made this country rich as it is so everybody can get on a boat, an airplane, and a car and come over here and live well. And I tell immigrants all the time, I don't care if they're white, Spanish, European, African, Caribbean, Asian, wherever the hell you come from, if you come to America looking for a better life, thank God for African Americans, because we took up the hell, and you come and you enjoy the fruits of our labor. And that's actual in the history. The white man has been telling lies in American history. In America, the children are learning nothing. They're not learning American history because American history is African-American history. How in the hell do you have African-American history and American history and it's all one history? So they're starting to water down their history and tell lies. So white people, your children not being educated properly. If you really know anything about academia, you know anything about academics, you know anything about history and background and study and social development of a country, if the history is not told properly, the kids are not educated properly, they're going to end up demising themselves and wars amongst people over nonsense. People are fighting over black and white. When the hell is that? Black and white ain't real. They created that. That's another thing they created to create chaos. People, there's a lot of stuff to be done. You know, I did not come here to this country voluntarily. My heritage, my background, my people came on slave ships. But I'm here, and if it was a situation where there could be some sort of resolve for the conditions in which we're experiencing, I would love to have that have done. Who wants to live in a condition like this? I don't know nobody who wants to live like this. It's impossible. Everybody wants to live in peace, harmony with the environment, with others. Nobody wants to live in these conditions. So it's very important that people see humanity for what it is, and people see the conditioning for what it is and the problems for what it is. And so on this radio program, we are trying to devise intelligence to people that there is a need to change the structure as it is, so as we go forward, we can all live in harmony. Who wants to live in war? Who wants to live in this kind of disaster, this kind of toxic environment, environmental racism, environmental toxicity, pollution, et cetera? So there's a lot of things to be done. And we have to consider how we're going to get these things done. There's a lot of changes need to be done. There's a lot of things that we as a people can do. There are certain things we can't do, you know, but in terms of us coming together as a people, that's going to be important. Then as a race of people, black, white, African-American, whatever you are, it's going to be necessary for us to come together at some time, because the Bible says you can live together in unity as brothers and sisters, or you can die like fools separate. So there's a tremendous responsibility that we have to keep this thing going, to keep things happening. And it's very, very important that we get to that point. You know, we have to get to the point of some change. We have the one and only with us tonight. I thought I knew the number, and I don't. That's strange. Well, we have a lot of responsibility as well, and we're going to have to work hard to make sure that we are able to come together and make some changes and get some things into order. And so here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, that's what we're trying to do: economic stability, economic togetherness, trying to change some conditions and some things of that nature. We're trying to see if we could bring the socialization together, bring folks together as well, and make some changes. And so with those things in mind, it's important to look at the circumstances with the Supreme Court. There's a shakeup going over there. Not only Clarence Thomas is corrupt and corruption and violating ethic rules and et cetera, and he's going to be evaluated by the ethic and the Senate and the Congress. And there are other justices now that also have some questionable dealings with people and some questionable contributions and financial contributions that is questionable, and they're starting to look at them as well. And you know, the Congress and the Senate start looking at some of the congressional people and the senatorial people George Santos is a liar. Nothing he said was true to get. He lied to get into his congressional seat, and he has no plans or no thoughts of leaving. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, she continues to bolster ignorance in these committee meetings. She's calling people stupid and ignorant and liar and anything she can call them, and these things are violation of ethic rules and committee meetings. And so they're starting to look at her now in a different way, start to evaluate her and bring her under subjection as well. And so under those conditions and those situations, we are finding ourselves in a place of needing some social and economic changes as we are facing that now. So the government and the country itself is starting to roll over. Things are starting to come to fruition. We see a lot of changes coming out. And we know that there is going to be some tremendous things happening, which is good. It's good that we have these ethic rules. It's good that we have these changes coming about. It's good that, you know, things are picking up. It's good that we're looking at some changes, but at the same time, in the meantime, we must also look at changing the conditions in which we're living in. We have to look at that part of it as well. We have to look at our part as citizens. You know, it's weird to me that we keep hiring these people. We keep bringing these people into government, you know, and these same people stealing and lying and cheating, same people doing, you know, things that they've been doing forever. And, you know, it's like, you know, we don't vote them out and we don't vote new people in. And people, they convince people year after year. They lie and tell people whatever they want to hear. And they bring people forced narratives of what they're really trying to do. And so if you're there and you see these things happening, it would be to your benefit to do something different, correct? To change your voting for better suited folks that need help, you know. It just makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense that we seek out better people to serve government. Because once these people get in these jobs, it's like, you know, there ain't no getting rid of them. You know, it's not like you can just vote them out. They have X amount of years to continue in service. And so you got to really, really start to vent and look at who you're bringing in to government. You got to really start taking a good look at to electing, especially on the local level, because those are people that are going to affect the immediate needs of yourself and your family. So, you know, these are things you want to really take a look at in terms of, you know, your voting rights and voting and getting people elected to office, because once they get in there, you're stuck with them. And a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people have their own private little agendas. You know, they have their own reasoning for coming in to government. There's secondary purposes, economic purposes, power structure purposes, get in and get to the next level. You know, there's always something that's brewing with people. Well, you know, we have with us tonight the Enigma herself, Ms. Carolyn Smith, and we're gonna welcome up to the studio and give her some time to talk about some things she'd like to talk about.
Hello, my brothers and sisters, and hello, doctor. Well, once again, I done did another thing.
Doctor, feel good.
Oh, watch it now. I only got one leg working. Anyway.
There you go.
I want to say, you know, we lost a good, wonderful person. And if you ever had a hug from him, you would know that he was wonderful. And that's Mr. Harry Belafonte. I just feel so proud of all the people that I grew up around, and Mother Hale and the library, and just knowing that we did so much, and just to see all my mother and father's associates and Uncle Peg Leg people up in heaven. And I know Aretha was singing at the gate, and Sidney Poitier grabbed his hand and pulled him through, and it's just so wonderful up there. And Sammy Davis Jr. did his tap dance. It's so beautiful up there, and they're
Amen.
Waiting for us. So
Amen.
That's one of the most beautiful things.
Tell me, give me another 20 years before I come.
Behave yourself. Anyhow, you still got your cousin, and we got the infamous Jesse Jackson, who did the rainbow and rescued many blacks and people from being incarcerated in other countries. We need his services, or somebody need to teach somebody something. But I heard you talking about the elections, and you know, I really hate saying this to everybody, but the country has fallen. They only needed you to make their efforts in the country of America great for themselves, and now they are working with, you know, hip-hop, because they want to show that there's unity and there's still no racism. But no, they don't flip it, and they're definitely trying to get rid of you, black man, by any means necessary. And if they got to put another race on top of you to make them feel like, hey, they've been accomplished, it's the same thing. You know, it don't make a difference if it's Biden or Trump or the Native American. This country has sold out. We're under one world order, okay? And you're right. Anybody that gets into office, look at the other gentleman. He lied and cheated his way into the office. They haven't moved him. You can't get fired. You can't get put out. The judges are doing whatever they want to do, and they still want to hustle you for a vote. Why? Each state is doing whatever they want to do. Whatever they want to do. If they don't like you being gay, they don't have to have you there. And if you can't move, you're going to have to go underground. That's the same thing with Jesus. Well, I'm not going underground with Jesus. It's going to come a time that you're going to have to stand up and realize you either down with God or you down with Satan. That's the bottom line. There ain't no money or gold or silver or nothing that's going to save your behind. Your faith. Where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? Not the God that man made, God that is real God, God from the heavens, the universe, whether you think he's an alien or what. Where is your faith? Because nobody told you you was going to come here and it's going to be lottie-dottie. But since this country learned how to use racism to their financial needs, and it's slowly disappearing, and they want to love you again, then let them love you again. I'm done. I'm losing everybody that has struggled and seen more lynching than a little bit, and we still killing each other, and we haven't marched and stopped us from killing each other. We kill each other more than the white man kills each other. And we know that we get guns coming in. And now all of a sudden the new drug bust is marijuana. I'd be on my knees laughing. I never thought marijuana would be the bad guy. I swear. And then they got the new drug that they are putting in all the other drugs. And do you know that the infamous richest man in the world is buying up land and doing his own food growth that is not real food? I mean, wake up, people. We haven't done two-thirds of what we need to do. We need to buy land and cultivate it with real seeds. Real seeds, grow real tomatoes and real food, and have a real cow. Why you think even cows are running away? You not notice the animals are acting like they have more sense than human beings? Even peacocks are running, jumping out the Bronx Zoo and going walking down the street like they ain't got, look, I'm not dealing with this. People are not dealing with this. You got more suicide than a little bit. You got somebody killing somebody next door, more fires than a little bit. Okay? And yes, and you know, I mean, yes, you gay and you outweigh the black man. I ain't mad at you. It's the system. And this is Satan time. But I'm on Jesus' side. There's nothing we can't do. We can do it, and we can get this building and finally get us an office, or we can go and do it where we can have the virtual office, you understand, and we can rent us some space and have our meetings and our phone calls answered, and we could do our, you know, everything. We can stop procrastinating. We don't have to have $10,000 to make things function. We function outside in the street in a car when it was freezing. So we can do this. Let's stop making excuses. We could get a virtual office, a nice space with the office already decorated where they have a waiting room and things of that sort, and do some wonderful things. We can do this. We could get an ESL license. And we could get thousands of students coming from everywhere you want. And they could join EFW and Local 26. We got anger management. We can offer not just, you know, ex-offenders and those who are emotionally disturbed. Hell, you got judges that want to let loose. You got lawyers that need to get on their knees and cry and have a marathon. You got people such as, you know, the pastors that want to cry and let loose and have a marathon and let go, because everybody's starting to think they really God. And I don't worship anybody. I'm not a fan of anybody, but I do admire, you know, where we at. But this still don't belong to us. The apps on the phone don't belong to a black man. It's white. Everything that we're doing, I don't hear black anymore. The toilet you sitting on is black. That light you stop at is black. The chess game you play is black. That straightening comb that turned into a hot pressing comb, that's black. You just converted it. It's just, you know who you are. I love y'all. I know y'all think I'm crazy as a bed bug, but thanks to the Marines, I might be two-thirds of crazy. And between Winborn and Robinson, they got the rest, and just me giving birth, hey, 10 pounds, 9 ounces, I think I could do it again at 68, but that lets you know I'm disturbed. I know that the devil is working, because when you got 40 and 30-year-olds, 36-year-olds who want to be with a 75 or 65 or 50-year-old, because they want love and they want a home and they want this and they want real stuff, then there's a problem. There's a problem. When the old men and young women and it's reversed, there's a problem. And you know all our men died in Vietnam. So let's pull together and stop whining. We could get this office. It's not going to cost that much. It's a monthly payment. You understand, wherever you want it virtually, it'll be in Harlem or Manhattan, wherever, but they're available. We got jobs. We got jobs. Okay? And we got people from around the world that want to talk to us. We got people from Nigeria and all that good stuff. But we must remember that Local 26 has come a long way. And unity is what keeps us strong. And Dr. Robinson, I know your prayers and everything is working, but we still need to do something for DMX. You know, maybe we could get the project's name into DMX projects. You know, we got parks that need, you know, some cameras and 'cause we don't have police protection everywhere. We need community gatherings and community block watch. Since people stay on their phone every day, watch your block with your phone. Check out who's on your roof in your building. Check out who's in your hallway and send it to your landlord and your mayor. Because the rent is going up. Rent is going up. And see, blacks don't live together like Chinese people. And not even Jamaicans or everybody won't be up under one roof. We're not African. We ain't none of them. We raised by Americans. And stop talking like you speak English. You don't speak English. We're not English. We're Americans. We speak American. We don't speak English. There's nothing England over here at all. We pay taxes to England, but we don't. Stop it. You know, you got TikTok got you going crazy, and the only way you can make money if you get a certain amount of people, you know, and there's a certain amount of people that are starving and they're hungry. We've had tornadoes. We got places that need to be rebuilt. There's jobs out here, but see, now they're going to be segregating. Each state is going to have their own rules and regulations. You need to learn what you can die from. If you cross the street and jaywalk, you need to know if your life is in danger in this state. And then you go to the next state, you could get hung for this state mistake. You need to know that they flipping the rules and regulations on you in different states, just like they did when they was lynching. Pay attention. Your money ain't going to save you, and everybody can't get that big black man that fight for other people who are dead to fight for you, because you got to be dead for him to fight for you. You hear me? All of us don't have lawyers. Get one. Know one. Get your church to hire one. Make one put on the board, because those days are coming back. And they're going to want you to verify who you are, not what you are. Who are you? Are you an American? They want to see a thumbprint, a blood print. They want to know, because they're ready to replace us on a permanent basis. And they're putting it in our food, and they're putting it in our kids' weed, and there's new drugs coming and new diseases because they claim the earth cannot handle but so much weight. You never created this planet. You don't step in your boundary, man, when you start telling people what the earth can't handle. You didn't create this. God did. And you better remember your place, Satan. But other than that, I'm basically normal. I'm not pregnant. So... I've been trying. I saw the Indian woman in India. She's 68 and she's pregnant. I don't know how it happened, but God don't say oops. So I was thinking, and I said, no, I'm not the right one. But if anybody's really interested in doing a miracle, let me know. If you pass 68, you have a baby, you my girl. Okay? And if you had a transfer in body form and you got pregnant, then that's a real miracle, because you a man having a baby, and I'm going to get everybody pregnant that day. But I love you, and I want you to know that we have jobs, and we're looking for a decent space, but my suggestion is virtual. and it's reasonable, and it helps us keep our monies together until we find what we're looking for. Other than that, like I said, we got anger management, but we don't have the space, but we'll make a way where we can maybe do it on Zoom, and you can give us a little donation for the services. And as far as jobs, we'll refer you, and we can do car service as well. There's so many things that's open to us, but we just have to pull together and make it happen. And I love you all, and that's all I have to say.
Wow.
Are you sexy?
Nah. Well, I'm interested, you know. I'm glad somebody think I'm sexy. Okay.
Well, hey. We don't want a mob coming down to the station, but he's quite a handsome man, ladies.
There you go. Don't worry, you're going to be in the will.
I don't want to be in the will. I got enough problems.
There you go.
I don't want to be in the media. I can hear it now. So why would Ron leave you some money? I said, because I always talk about church, but I never went. Oh, no, you won't have your wives beat me up. So what was going on with you? Not a thing. And he was trying to put something in my mind, but it just wouldn't stay there. But I found Jesus, so he was successful. Did you find him? Yes, he always talked to me about Jesus. So how was Dr. Winborn around? Who's around?
No, not at the moment. If they found Jesus, they sure lost them when they got married to me.
Well, you know, you had some type of assistance that made them, you know, turn the other cheek.
Well, you know, sometimes women turn rebel when they marry a certain person. You know, they sweet to the other one, and then when they marry a certain man, they become a rebel. You know, it's like, oh, my God, now you decided to get a gun, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Will you stop telling that fib? You know what gun they was being rebel against. Think real hard. Look down. Do you see that gun? Hello?
Well, you know, we have to consider all things.
Did you see the gun? That's what I asked you. You was talking about weapons.
Listen, in this world today, my Lord, what's going on now in this world today? I'm surprised that nothing surprised me to a certain extent, you know.
But that's why I'm saying that if they rebelled and they fell out with you as soon as they married you, all you have to do is look down. It's right below your belt, and you can look at that gun, and that's what got you in trouble.
Well, it's too late now, you know. That's all. Too late, baby, now. It's too late. You know? And listen, it's like Columbus coming to America. It was already there, so in no sense trying to look for it now.
You still looking for it?
Listen, I ain't looking for it no more.
It's a shame that people believe that. I got put out of class so many times when I said, no, he didn't discover. We was here already. That's not what you are disobedient. And I got hit on my hand with the ruler. My mother caught a cab from Harlem, New York, all the way to Ellenville, nonstop, came straight to the school. My father was like, oh, my God, why, Lord Jesus? And she had 100-proof gin. She said, I will burn, kill all you. hit her again in front of me. Act like I'm up here by myself. I miss them women, boy. That woman was fine and had her heels on. And her little thing of gin, and came in this class. You know who I am? You know who she is? And you put your hands on again. Do it. I dare you. I dare you. Do it. Mm. Yeah, I'm drunk. Mm. Yeah. Touch her again. I'm going to show you how I'm going to get sober. Oh, God. Black women. Now, if you talk about that kind of crazy, but your kind of crazy is because you had a gun that you wasn't licensed to use and you just felt like you could do it four times and you shot yourself in the foot.
Oh, there you go. That's why, listen, that's why I protect myself now. And gentlemen, there's a new sheriff in town.
Stop lying.
These women got independence and guns. You got to be careful.
Oh, please. Women ain't
said,
got
the largest, They said the largest certification for gun use is black women.
Really?
They get more guns than the sheriff down in South Carolina. You know, the largest. You can Google it. The largest percentage of people, new gun owners, certified gun owners, concealed weapon permit carry. When they look at, you know, they look at the number of, because I think on these things you got to pick whatever color you are, red, male, female. You know, I think they ask you that question. But nevertheless, according to statistics, FBI statistics on gun ownerships and certification and getting the concealed weapon permits, the largest people are black women getting guns. So, gentlemen, hold your horses.
They got to hold nothing because, see, just like white men rape, pillage, and plunder, so did the black man follow. So I commend sisters who got guns and they protecting themselves and their life. It's like, look, we don't have the black men we used to have. And we don't have the black men that we used to have that would stand up like my father sat up all night with a double-barrel shotgun to protect me and make sure the white sheets didn't run into our yard and bust through our door. We don't have that no more. And believe me, they're larger now and they're stronger now. Even the white women don't have a problem telling you you're a nigger. But y'all call her Susan. I don't call her Susan. I call her white nigger. And they are disgusted.
They were calling it Karen.
Yeah, there you go, Karen, Susan.
Well, the Susan, I think there's one Susan, too. I think I got a Susan and a Karen. They're gonna collect
the Susan, party. Karen, she's a white nigger to me. It don't make a difference. You know, niggers are niggers, you know, and I was taught that it don't make a difference who and what it is. For us to even give this any kind of power, it's just like you might as well give them white sheets the power and the glory because they are definitely growing and they getting stronger. And we are still not marching to fight against us killing each other and we're not uniting our people. And just like, hey, if a black man see a white man can use a sister or a sister is already used and drained and torn down and she got four kids and they can still use her, they will. So if a sister feels that, hey, that, you know, it used to be in the old days you kept a jar at the door with lye, honey, Coca-Cola, and piss and crushed glass. And you kept it at the door for those who did not know how to leave, especially men. So now that's a substitute. They went and got a Glock 9, and they knowing how to shoot. It works for me. At least you get a bullet. With me, you could get C4. Wake up and you be outside. It'll be a left side moment.
Exactly.
What happened to the house? I don't know. It burnt down. We had an emotional. We had an emotional fallout. And I put a sneaker in the tub and it caught on fire and it never stopped.
Wow.
Remember that?
Wow.
Left side burned down, homeboy's out. And he bought another one and said, I love her. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that kind of love. That if I blow up something and your stuff is worth $1 million, you know that there's no amount of money that could come between our love.
Because
you got Jesus.
Hey, listen, if a man loses $1 million and he still loves a person that made him lose $1 million, You're right. That's love. That's crazy love.
That's mental. You need some therapy, love. But But now they got shows on TV that they have people helping black people or looking for black people to have love. I'm like, everything white man does, you follow. So no wonder you stay in slavery. You don't need help to find love. Love is free. You don't need nobody to help you find misery or happiness or money. You can do that on your own. Talk to your God. We get money on this show every day. This is a black billionaire program. We get money. People come on this show every weekend who has money, who's making money, you know, and they want to help us and help each other. So there's money all over the place, but now there's a big manipulation because election is coming up and everybody want to be your friend. Everybody want to be your friend, Dr. Robinson. They want to be your friend.
They call from the Republicans, the Democrats, the rats, the roaches, people in my state, out of my state, people 10,000 miles from my state. They're all calling you.
Yes. Did you tell them we got rats in New York? Do they have a solution to get rid of that, or they told you to call them back?
They want that money first. Then they send you a statement to them. But first get that money to them, you know.
Hello?
Yeah, they want that money. You know, that's a must. I mean, I never had so many politicians calling me, thank you, Ron, help us get in office 8 years ago whenever I got Barack Obama in there, and they just constantly calling. I mean, I'm like, you know.
And when you call them and ask them for something, do they speak English or American?
they speak gibberish.
I'll get back to you, Ron. You know, you picked the wrong time for you to call me at that. And I was looking at some grants concerning that. And they give you a whole big rigmarole on why they couldn't, should have, could have, and wouldn't have. But you my man, and I tell you, as soon as something shows up, I'm going to give you a call.
There you go.
Because you're the main man. But see, it's easier when you tell them this time, no.
Mm.
And they're going to ask, Ron? Yeah, this is Ron. Well, you know how serious we've been fighting for. I understand. But you know that we need it, and I sympathize with you. And, Ron, since you have a doctor's degree, come up with some real big words. You know, something that really they have to learn to spell and tell them, you know. And on that note, I just want you to know I wish I could, you know, but I have a project that I've been working on and I hadn't heard anything from anybody, and I'm not being judgmental. I know it's difficult because I know I would have heard from you.
Right. If y'all start making people, you know, protecting people with all these guns and all these crazy people, then I might live to do something for you.
There you go. See, and if you lived in Ellenville, the KKK state of this state, you would know how to play those games. See, at nighttime, everybody is their own shit. But in the daytime, you know that was George on the horse wearing the white sheet, and you knew that was Ron John, who helped him when he was, that's his boy, okay? Even though he's black, you know that's George's boy. So you could see everything in the daytime, but at night, you know that George is riding that horse with that white sheet, and you know his boy's house is not going to get burned down, but you can't guarantee your house. So when you know that these two are together, you know how to cover your behind. You ain't messing with George's boy, and you ain't messing with George, and George know that you'll come directly to him, to his house, and let him know yours can disappear just like mine. And George going to want to be your friend because, oh, my goodness, I feel like I have a hero. But no, tell George to stick with his man until he get balls. And that's how that goes. I'm not voting for anybody. I have no intentions of messing with anybody. Y'all had Trump right here in New York City over hookers. Over hookers, Ron. Ron, you brought the range and crazy back here over hookers from 8 years, 10 years back. You was molested somewhere, and I sympathize with you. But this is white-on-white crime. This don't have nothing to do with you raping, pillaging, and almost killing everybody in the White House.
Wow.
You hear me?
Wow.
You hear me? You pulled him into the court from West, wherever he was, doing whoever he doing. Okay? So you can have news in New York. So y'all can build up some money for yourselves. And even though he belongs in jail, y'all scared to put him in jail because Whitey is scared of Whitey. And this is the moment I've been waiting for all my life. I ain't thinking about black men doing nothing. What y'all going to do? Good trouble is dead. Y'all gave Harry Belafonte a 3-day memorial. Are you serious? I'm not even upset. I'm not even upset. The man who sat in Martin Luther King's funeral, you gave him a 3-day blah, 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 and threw a choir together like y'all couldn't find nobody. You know, no parade, no nothing. Y'all can kiss where the sun, and I don't even get no sunshine because I got menopause. But there's something wrong with that picture. There should have been black men from everywhere on the planet standing in front of the Harlem State Building where Adam Clayton Powell's statue is, making speeches, giving motivation to kids. This will be a good moment to stop guns. You're going to buy guns. You know how many people got guns? If they find out that's a new program so they can get money, everybody going to start bringing in guns for lunch money.
Wow.
Stop this nonsense. So I just want you to know on this note, because I'm going to leave you.
I know something we can do good for him. We could build a school in Jamaica in his name.
I would like to do that. Can I go and make it happen? Because I'm not doing anything other than I get my students. I'm getting a student from France, and I always tell my students that are in Turkey and Russia and all over the world to think about Local 26, and they know about us. But that would be wonderful, and I would love to go with one of y'all, like the other Mr. Robinson. He's going to Africa in October, and I'd like to go with him because he got family over there. I'm not trying to go to Nigeria. I know that people want to snatch up everybody who got ID. And we're not very well liked once we fly out the country. It used to be once you fly around the corner. Now they don't like you nowhere.
There you go.
So I just like to know when you're ready to do that.
It's a hell of a thing being African American because you're not like where you can go over there. You're not like by the people here. You got to figure your way out. You know.
No, you are the most unique thing in the world. That's the problem. Stop thinking that you ain't. You the most unique.
Everybody feels guilty.
That. Even Africans feel guilty about us being over here.
Yeah.
They like, yo. I said, no, you ain't got to feel bad because my family started screwing the Indians. And so everybody was screwing somebody. The Irish was doing you. We was being dumb. We got black Irish. We got black Chinese. We got black everything. A black man unscrewed a little bit of everything on this planet. We're everywhere. I'm not going for that, you know, a black man. And my father told me when he was in the Army, anywhere a black man go, he done made a black baby. We are the ones who run this world. You know, but the economy over here, we're not their slaves anymore, and we're not each other's slaves anymore. So slavery is, I've never been a slave, but for the normal American, if you don't know how to use that cell phone, because that's where everybody is, the crippled, crazy, drunk, and blind, then you won't be making any money. And I choose not to deal with the cell phone. I am happy with what I have. Y'all could go crazy. I'm just telling you, get your act together. If you don't want your bullying in the schools, then all you parents need to go to the schools and start talking to the kids and bringing in ex-offenders and start putting up programs where y'all could have a scared straight or, you know, something, because, you know, they're stressed. And they frustrated. And you don't have nothing for these kids. Nothing, I mean nothing. Because everybody don't beat up and want to shoot you every damn day if they had something. But you taking away their art, you taking away their lunch, you taking away their life, and they already know if they go to school, they're sitting duck to get shot. And none of the parents can afford to go to the school, and those who are home are too busy smoking and doing what they got to do. So let's, you know, call a spade. You don't give a damn about the kids getting shot, whether they were white, black, or any other color. So they doing what they need to do for them. And believe me, at 15 years old, hotels are selling a lot of 15-year-olds, male, straight, gay, and otherwise, okay? And they're making money. So let's stop playing like we can't see and we don't know what's wrong with us. But I love you, Dr. Robinson, and I got to go.
Thank you so much. We're gonna bring some more, open some mics and bring some more listeners in and hear what they have to say and see what's going on with them.
Amen.
We'll open up 469-512. Your mic is open. 469-512.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Okay.
Okay, yourself?
I'm good. Just sitting here listening, trying to catch up on the conversation, you know.
Political conditions, this is economic conditions, environmental racism and food zones and owning land and, you know, just general survival stuff conversation at this point.
Okay. I don't really have an opinion on that at this moment. I don't have a...
Okay, no problem, Ma. We're happy to have you on. Stay tuned. More to come. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break for a commercial break. Pay our dues here and sponsors, and we'll be back.
Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Wade. I sang on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Thing, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? It's your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your piece, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Miles.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Sell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folks, GB Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G. Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy,
Big Chad Domingo.
Bow-bow, salute the big dog. This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem, you did.
I am Geronimo Beals, off the deep end, getting blessings, Wise Life Records, and you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2D, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record-Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record-Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service, how to meet and network with people in other cities, how to make connections with other business owners, and how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
And we're back, and we're going to have we're going to listen into some historical factors on the slavery and what transpired during that time. If anybody wants to say anything in reference to the society today, the conditions and situations that's here, we'll give you a little spot right now before we go into this history. Situation, 806-886, your mic is open.
Yes, I definitely wanted to just say great show today. Thank you for having me on the show. My name is Guidance for the Future Record. We are changing the globe by bringing fathers closer to sons and mothers closer to daughters. Big shout out to Pastor Don for giving me the opportunity to link up with you, and thank you for having me, sir.
Great. So you're working on economic development in the music industry. Is that what your methodology or program is?
Absolutely. We are an artist consultation and development company. So, yes, we are definitely working on community development through giving positive artists a stage to help change, you know, the music that we listen to, that we, you know, bottle feed our youth. And we've been bringing families together and blessing communities and bringing people out of the house to unite for the last 5 years now. It's a young company, but we've grown exponentially annually, so it has definitely been blessed.
So the young people are going to learn about the administrative side of the industry, the business side, or the entertainment side, or both.
I can say that it is a long road, so we definitely utilize stepping stones. First, we bring them into a professional studio atmosphere, you know, give them that opportunity to make professional music, and then give them the opportunity to learn more about progression of mastering, mixing, bringing their music out to an audience, marketing, et cetera. And what it is by the time we're done, they should usually know whether they want to take it a little more seriously, take the next step, or whether they want to concede and just continue it as a hobby. So it's kind of a way to give those that wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to make that song or be in that professional studio a chance.
And you're operating out of what state?
I'm operating out of Texas. We're in the Panhandle in Borger, Texas, 79007 area code currently.
And this is where the young people can get their help and assistance in terms of getting interested in the music industry. In Texas, they will be able to get help from you as well.
Yes, sir. As a global entity, we utilize obviously we utilize the avenues of the internet, et cetera. So, you know, we do Zoom meetings, et cetera, so they can ask any questions that they would otherwise not be able to ask someone that's made, you know, quite a few of these moves in the industry. Pastor Don has definitely blessed me and took me to the next level. So, again, it's a learning experience every day, and I'm just really looking for who's serious, but who has a good ear for music and a positive influence, a positive affirmation to give to the globe as times are treacherous for everyone. So putting that front and center on the stage is a blessing.
Okay. We're gonna definitely, you know, utilize the services. Young people need to learn about all aspects of music and history. And we're gonna bring the man himself on, Pastor Don Jr., the CEO. We're gonna bring him on, give him a nice hand, bring him on. And you're on. You're there. Okay, people. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn a little bit about history here, and our attorney Jeffrey Robinson is going to teach a little bit about history, about slavery, about racism, CRT, critical race theory, and racism, and systemic racism, and slavery, Jim Crow, and how it all started. And so, and that subject matter is who we are. It's a tremendous study over a period of years of the conditioning of the African American people and the slavery condition that we're in. And let's take a listen.
If you have ever owned a slave, please raise your hand. Slavery is not our fault. We didn't do it. We didn't cause it. It's not our responsibility, but it is our shared history. And when we try and turn it into something that it's not, when we try and make more light of it than it was, then we are denying who we really are, and we are impeding our ability to truly move forward as a community or as a nation.
In most cases in the South, that's the way it worked, because they were treated as family. And they knew what they had. They didn't know what they were being faced with if they left.
So your view is that enslaved people were treated as family?
That's basically the way it was down South.
So what I want to talk to you about is part of the ugliness of our history. I want all of us to understand just how we laid the groundwork to own other human beings as property.
And so I think what I'm looking at are shackles that were designed for an adult male and shackles that were designed for a child of maybe 3 or 4.
Yes.
41 of the 56 people who signed the Declaration of Independence owned other human beings as property. When they were talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they saw that as being completely consistent with enslaving people.
Question. What kind of things happened here?
Lynchings or hangings took place here on this very spot.
Black folks here in Charleston refer to it as the lynching tree.
America has demonstrated its greatness time and time and time again, and America is one of the most racist countries on the face of the earth. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. It is not an either or.
There must be a revolution of values in our country, because some of the values that presently exist are certainly out of line with the idealistic structure that brought our nation into being.
I was 11 years old in 1968, and to my young eyes, we had been on a path toward racial justice that was amazing. There was the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and we were seemingly, to me, at a tipping point where we were either going to roll forward with this incredible momentum on racial justice, or we could roll back. And then April 4th happened, and King got shot in the neck, and it felt like the whole thing just rolled back.
And a man grabbed me by the arm and said, "We don't allow blacks in the gym." And I remember turning to y'all and I said, "They've got a problem with the clock and with what's going on here. We all are out here. We're leaving."
I didn't know that.
I figured not.
Once again, America is having to look at issues of race dead in the eye. And once again, we are at a tipping point. And the reason I'm asking us to think about this is that literally the future is at stake.
And Larry, he came out with his hands in the air and said, "Don't shoot." Put the shotgun in his stomach and pulled the trigger. It closed range.
And what I'm going to ask us to do tonight is to have a naked lunch moment with race in America. It's that moment when everyone has to take a look at what is really on the end of their fork.
If I may ask you a question, Jeff, perhaps if Dylann Roof was educated, if he understood that he may not have gone down this path, what are your thoughts?
This is not going to be easy, but I can promise you this. It will never get easier to have an honest discussion about race in America than it is right now, because if we wait, it is only going to get harder.
The Larry that you heard referred to in that trailer was a young man named Larry Payne, who was 6 years older than I was, and he was killed in Memphis, Tennessee the week before King was assassinated, 1 week to the day. There was a march in support of striking sanitation workers, and that march broke into violence. Larry was confronted by a police officer who put a shotgun in his stomach and pulled the trigger. And his memory has been one of the things that's been forgotten about the garbage strike and the movement in Memphis. So I am Jeff Robinson, and I am a criminal defense lawyer from Seattle, Washington. And you could be asking, why are you here and why are you doing this? And that would be a completely legitimate question. And this is the way I'm going to answer it. In 2011, I became a parent because my wife's younger sister, Jeannie, who lived in Queens, New York, was suffering from MS and she passed away. And her 13-year-old son, Matthew, my nephew, then became my 13-year-old son because he was being raised by Jeannie and Jeannie's mother. Jeannie passed away in April of 2011, and her mom, my wife's mom, passed away in November of 2011. So Matt lost both of his parents. His father was never in the picture, and he moved to Seattle. Now, I was terrified about being a parent because I didn't know anything about how to do that. And I was scared a lot. But I was more scared because there was a young black man that moved into my home. And my work as a criminal defense lawyer in Seattle had been for 30 or 35 years working on issues of racial justice, working on issues for clients of color, working and speaking around the country on these issues. They were very important to me, but they were academic to a certain extent until Matthew showed up on my doorstep. And I got scared. And one of the reasons I was scared is that there had been a narrative going on in America about young black men for more than a decade. And it went something like this.
They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heal.
Bring them to heal. As soon as you start talking about human beings like they're animals, get ready for some really bad shit to come. Because that's how we do it in America. We dehumanize people before we start to treat them as less than human. And so I was scared and I didn't know what to do, and I just started reading. And as I started reading, I was shocked. I didn't even know what I was looking for. But I started reading facts about our history in America that I had never seen before, that I had never heard before. And it was just scaring me, and it was shocking me. And it was shocking me because, as I said in that clip, I was born in Memphis, Tennessee in 1956 and was assassinated in 1968. The civil rights movement wasn't something I read about in a book. It was what we were living when we stepped out the door of our house in the black neighborhoods in Memphis, Tennessee, every day of our lives. And yet I was reading about these facts about our history that I had never heard before. I have had one of the best educations in America. I went to Marquette University and Harvard Law School, and nobody ever taught me this stuff. And so I felt humiliated. And then I felt angry because I thought, well, how come nobody taught me this? And so I thought, I'm going to forgive myself and get pissed off at my teachers, and I'll blame them. And then I thought, well, how could they have taught me if they weren't taught? And the amazing thing about this stuff is that these facts are hiding in plain sight. All you have to do is go and look, because human beings, from the time of the cave drawings in France that are 30,000 years old, human beings have a trait that has always been part of our existence. When we think we're doing something important, we write stuff down. And we keep it so people can read it later. And our history, from the time the colony started, is written down in plain fact for anybody that wants to take a look. And so I started to take a look, and I started to do these presentations about 7 or 8 years ago. And as they developed, I kept doing them, and I gave a presentation in 2017 in New York City. And one of the people in the audience was a woman named Sarah Kunstler. Is Sarah's father-in-law in the audience? Do I hear anybody? Could you stand up and introduce yourself, please?
My name's John Ferguson.
Thank you, John, for coming, and I please give him a hand. Because Sarah Kunstler is the daughter of the famed civil rights lawyer William Kunstler. And Sarah came up to me after the presentation and said, I'd like you to meet my sister Emily, because we own a film company and we'd like to make a documentary about your presentation. And I thought that was the most stupid thing I had ever heard in my entire life. 1 year later, we are performing in Town Hall Theater on Broadway in New York City in front of a sold-out audience with 7 cameras filming. And since that time, we have gone across America filming interviews to put together a documentary called Who We Are, A Chronicle of Racism in America. What I'm here to do tonight is to give you an idea of what this documentary will cover and to give you a sense of the arc of the documentary, because I think that's perhaps the most important thing about this film is the arc that we're trying to cover. When people talk about slavery and atrocities that have happened in our past, what we often hear is, yeah, but that was a long time ago. It doesn't have any impact on the way things are today. And that's something that I want to challenge with this film. And so what I'd like to do is to walk through 4 segments of this arc. And this won't be everything that the documentary covers, I promise you that. But it will give you a flavor for the things that I think can make America look at who we are differently and can make us take steps that we have not yet taken in our existence. This stuff was hiding in plain sight. The term white supremacy is a difficult term and an extreme term, and I think it is used, and some people feel that it might be overused. What I want you to consider is that white supremacy was one of the founding pillars of American society. Now, if you think that's an overstatement, in the documentary, we will walk through the historical documents that will lay this out clearly. But some of what you'll see is that we know in 1619 we have these records of 20 and odd enslaved people landing somewhere near Jamestown, Virginia. But did you know that by 1790, American cotton production had grown to 1.5 million pounds a year? Has anybody on the stage ever held a freshly picked piece of cotton in your hand? And I don't mean something out of an aspirin bottle, but like out of a field, no twigs. How much does it weigh? I can't tell you how many cotton balls that weigh near nothing it took to get to 1.5 million pounds, but I can tell you how many enslaved people it took, 700,000. In 171 years, America went from 20 and odd enslaved people to 700,000. And the details behind this story are part of what we will paint in the documentary with historical documents. Many people will say, if you're talking about the history of enslavement in America, you really can't talk about the colonies because that wasn't America yet. America didn't happen until we broke away from England. And what I'd like you to think about in terms of the arc of this story is that the white supremacy that was at the heart of the economic life of the colonial Americans was doubled down upon when we wrote our Constitution. Article 1, Section 2 is the three-fifths clause. Every black person in America was counted as three-fifths of a human being. If I asked people in this room before I started this presentation, what is affirmative action? Almost all of us would say, oh, those were programs of uplift in the 60s and 70s directed at the black community. And then at some point the U.S. Supreme Court said, hey, that's reverse discrimination, and now there's kind of a balance. I'm not quite sure where it is. Many Americans think affirmative action started in the 1960s. Can you think of a more powerful form of affirmative action than giving one race of people the right to own another race? Article 1, Section 9, no ban on migration or importation of such persons before 1808. The word slavery, enslaved or slave, did not appear in the Constitution until the 13th Amendment. We'll get to that in a minute. Because the North understood that the South was upset by that word. It was kind of harsh. And so enslaved people were referred to as such persons. And no ban on migration meant that we need to keep the ships going to Africa to bring more enslaved people back because we are getting rich off of this. We can't cut this trade off until 1808. Article 2, Section 1. Each state shall appoint a number of electors equal to the number. One reason, to give the southern states a guarantee that they would have a significant role in electing the president of the United States. And here is where you will hear letters from people like Patrick Henry. Remember him, y'all? Give me liberty or give me death. Well, when the Constitutional Convention was happening, people thought they were doing something important. So they wrote stuff down. And Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet, so people had to write letters to each other. And Patrick Henry, you will see in the documentary, an actor reading Patrick Henry's letter about there are 236,000 blacks in Virginia and fewer none in the northern states. Multiply 236,000 by 3/5 and you still get a big number, especially considering the size of America at the time. This was done directly to further the interest of the slave-owning states. Article 4, Section 2, no freedom for any runaway slave must be returned on demand. And I was telling Art earlier, I've been giving this presentation or some version of it for 7 or 8 years, and I have just realized recently that this document says an incredible thing. This part of the Constitution makes it clear that from the first day that this country came into existence, America turned to its law enforcement officers and said, your job is to control, contain, and suppress every black face in America. We wrote it in the Constitution. Because if there's no freedom for a runaway, what does that mean? The United States Marshals Service is on you to bring you back to your owner. And finally, people say the folks that wrote the Constitution were brilliant, and they were. Go back to Article 1, Section 9. No state could pass a law saying you can't bring enslaved people from Africa into our state, because that would be unconstitutional. But these folks were wily. They said, what if folks try and amend the Constitution? And so they doubled down and they said, you can't amend Article 1, Section 9 until after 1808. They were going to keep those ships coming. The word slavery is mentioned once in the 13th Amendment, which did not rid America of slavery. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime, shall exist within the United States. That means that slavery and involuntary servitude do exist for people who have been convicted of a crime. Think about the new Jim Crow and mass incarceration in the light of this amendment. This was not done by mistake. And the documentary will demonstrate people knew exactly what they were doing when they wrote this amendment. So I wish I could see a show of hands. How many people know who the Colonial Marines were? I am trying to demonstrate how we have been deprived of the truth about our history. If you were never taught who the Colonial Marines were, the Colonial Marines were escaped enslaved people that fought for the British in the War of Independence and during the War of 1812. Why? Because the British said, if we win, you get your freedom. And the Colonial Marines in the War of 1812 were part of British troops that attacked the Americans right outside of Washington, D.C., drove them back into Washington, D.C., and set the White House on fire. And one of the people who was watching that happen was Francis Scott Key. And 3.5 weeks later, he was in Baltimore Harbor watching the bombing of Fort McHenry. And after 25 consecutive hours of bombing, when he saw the American flag still flying, he became overcome with patriotic fervor, and he wrote the poem that became the national anthem.
And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle of home and country should leave us no more. Their blood
No refuge can save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight, because we will hunt you down, or the gloom of the grave, because we will put you in the dirt if you dare fight against America for your freedom. And there are historians who will be anxious to tell you, well, Francis Scott Key wasn't talking about those enslaved people. He was talking about some other enslaved people. Francis Scott Key was a virulent racist. Francis Scott Key prosecuted a man in Washington, D.C. after the Civil War for possessing abolitionist literature, which carried the death penalty. Francis Scott Key called black Americans the worst plight to ever be inflicted on America. This is who wrote our national anthem, and these are the words. We may not sing them anymore, but they're there. And if you didn't know this, I wonder what you might think of black athletes who kneel quietly protesting racial injustice, knowing that this is our national anthem. And in the documentary, we will use all kinds of evidence to demonstrate just how much America relied on enslaving people. But this is an example of what it was about. The 1856 unique defense to the charge of murder that was put forward on behalf of Margaret Garner. And what Margaret Garner did is best described by a newspaper article from the Cincinnati Enquirer from 1856.
Great excitement existed throughout the city the whole day of yesterday in consequence of the arrest of a party of slaves and the murder of her child by a slave mother while officers were in the act of making the arrest. A party of 17 slaves escaped from Boone and Kenton counties in Kentucky about 16 miles from the Ohio on Sunday night last, and taking with them two horses and a sled, drove that night to the Ohio River opposite to Western Row in this city. Leaving the horses and sled standing there, they crossed the river on foot, crossed the river on the ice, on foot on the ice.
One of the narratives in America that has been very popular is that, yes, slavery was a bad thing, but it wasn't that bad. There were, like, good living conditions, and they had good food, and they were treated okay.
Your own day seems like you can't make it through.
have gone through the hurdles. After you've gone through the pain, oh my. After you've gone through the storm, hallelujah. Hey, after you've gone through the rain. Just